Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
And I want you to put this to practice in your life. That is how you get better and better at it, by putting it to practice. If you are just listening and you're enjoying it, you won't get the maximum profit that you actually can from it. And every day, whether we like it or not, we make decisions, we meet people, we decide to do certain things, we take actions. Some of them end up very good to our own advantage. Some of them we wind up regretting. But we can cut down on our regrets by following the Holy Spirit. When you follow the Holy Spirit, you will have nothing to regret, because it will not lead you into error. It will lead you. It will guide you into all truth. Let's look at John 16:13. Let's begin from there tonight. As a matter of fact, let's go to John 14 first. I want to press further from all of the things I've shared. I want to speak about judging by the word. But before I go there, I just want to have a mini stopover at John 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But, somebody say, but, the Comforter, capital letter C, if you have a red letter Bible, and these were the words of the Master, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you how many things? All things. Come on now. Say all things. So there is nothing you want to learn that the Holy Spirit cannot teach you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to school to have instructors teach you your courses, but it will teach you beyond your professors. So attend the class, pray in the Holy Ghost, and then let him explain what the lecturer forgot to explain. Let him explain beyond the explanation of the lecturer. Amen. He will teach you all things. And there are many things that the university will not teach you. The university will prepare you for your career, but the university many, many times does not prepare you for life, for the vicissitudes of life, because they come without a timetable. The examinations of life come without a warning. They can take you unawares. It is the Holy Ghost that teaches you how to not lose your grip in the face of the storms of life. The Bible says Jesus, the head of the church, said they will teach you all things. Should we believe Jesus? Come on now. Should we believe him? The sound is still not good. I don't like this sound at all, but I'm just going to manage. It shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. All things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost, one of the things he does is he teaches us all things. Another thing he does is that he reminds us of the words of Jesus. How important are the words of Jesus? Especially when you go through very dark times. When you go through, sometimes, moments of delay. You want to take a step forward in your life and it looks like that thing is not happening. It's not coming. I mean, you're applying for jobs. You need a job. And you don't have the job and you have bills up here and there. And you're saying, Lord, I've prayed. I've done my CV. I've attended interviews. Why this delay? Now, what can keep you going in the middle of such a delay will be the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that I've said unto you. It will remind you of the things that I've said. That's why you should read your Bible. That's where you read the words of Jesus. And those words, the Holy Spirit will remind you when you need them. When you need them. That's a word in season. A word in season. One word from God. Take this from me tonight. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God. One word in season. One word from God can transform your life forever. One word from God. Just one word from God. Amen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because there will be opportunities for your heart to be troubled. There will be opportunities for your heart to be afraid. Now, there is something about trouble standing and staring you in the face. But it's different when trouble enters your heart. Your heart is not this one pumping blood. Your heart, according to the scriptures, is your spirit. When trouble ever, may trouble never really get into your spirit. Because when your spirit is really troubled, when trouble enters the spirit, it can sink a person. Do you realize that the water around a ship does not sink a ship? The ship will travel on the water and it can travel 3 months. What sinks a ship is the water that escapes into the ship. If there is a leakage and water enters into the ship, that water, I guarantee you, will sink that ship. So the water around the ship, no matter how vast it may be, does not sink a ship. It is the one that trickles in little by little that would sink a ship. So trouble all around you is not the same as trouble in your heart. If you to your spirit, it can sink you. May you not sink in the name of Jesus. That's why it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So if our heart is ever troubled, it means we let it. Because the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, said, let not. Listen to me. Christianity or salvation does not promise us that we're going to live a life free of trouble. No. No. Jesus didn't promise that. And we didn't see that in the lives of the apostles. In fact, this very chapter 14 we are reading, that was how Jesus started it. That was how he opened it. Verse 1. The same words he gave in verse 27, he spoke them in verse 1. In verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in the Lord. You believe God. Believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not. Let not. So if your heart ever gets troubled, who allowed it to get that way? You did. Did you hear what I said? So when it comes, what do? You lean on the Holy Spirit. When trouble comes, get a word from the Holy Spirit so that your heart is not troubled. Because if you allow your heart to be troubled, then that is when you are really in trouble. It is the water that gets into a ship that can sink the ship. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Let's go to John 16 and verse 13. See what the Lord, the head of the church, said about the Holy Spirit. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you. In verse 14, it says it will teach you. Now, in chapter 16, right? In chapter 14, it said it will teach you. Chapter 14 said it will teach you. Now, chapter 16, it says it will guide you. To guide is to lead. And that's what we're learning tonight. How to be led by the Spirit of God. He will guide you. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. In every situation, there is the truth, there is the lie. And sometimes the lie does not present itself as a lie. The lie presents itself also as the truth. That's why people can swindle people. Because when they are presenting the business proposition, they present it like it is the truth. But it's a lie. On the internet today, you have a lot of people that are young people using their girlfriends and people they woo on the internet for ritual killing. When they are talking to them, like a young man wants to use a girl, a young lady, for ritual money, would he say to her, I'm going to kill you? He's in Lagos, for example, and she's in Port Harcourt. And he sends her money and says, buy yourself a flight ticket, fly to Lagos, you know, and come and meet me in maybe a five-star hotel. Mention. I mean, the girl is already dreaming. Wow. Maybe she's never been to Sheraton in all her life. Now, but the guy is planning to kill her. Maybe in some hotel, somewhere. Right? Now, so in that situation, something looks like the truth. I'm going to give you a treat. But that's a lie. The truth is, I'm going to kill you. Now, if the lady were a child of God, in fact, by the time you start having a chat with such a person, the Holy Spirit will be telling you, no, you don't. This is not the right kind of person to even have friendship with. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not supposed to have friendship with this person because the companion of fools will be destroyed. A companion of fools may be born again. Proverbs 13 verse 20. But if he's a companion of fools, he will be destroyed. Did you get that? He that walks with the wise will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. So, if you are getting into a wrong relationship as a child of God, when you now begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, it will begin to withdraw your peace. And it will be telling you the truth. The truth is your life is in danger in this situation. Don't go. Don't honor that invitation. Don't go to that trip. It will guide you into all truth. How about you, Pastor, when you got swindled? Yeah? He warned me never to do business, never to do anything, not to have anything to do with that guy. This was several years before the business. But what I have learned from that, today is the 5th of June, 2025. Is that correct? Do you know that the Holy Spirit knows what is going to happen 5th of June, 2075? Does he know? Or do you think the Holy Ghost ever will be caught by surprise? Oh! Wow! This happened? Wow! I'm surprised. Lord Jesus, would this happen? And then the father says, oh, yeah, I'm surprised too. No, they will never. Never, ever. Never, ever, never, ever. So he knows what is going to happen 13th of May, 2098. He has it all figured out. So if he gives you a warning, that person, don't you ever have anything to do with them. It means ever. Don't you? Did you hear what I said? I was almost reconsidering a relationship recently that the Holy Ghost had warned me years ago. Another relationship with another person who was supposed to also be a minister. Lord have mercy. In the days in which we live, many have the form of godliness, but they have denied the power thereof. Many parade themselves as angels of light, but they are messengers of Satan. And I was thinking, oh, maybe, you know, my natural human self, you know, maybe I should reach out to this person, just say hello, find out how he's doing. And somebody was almost going to be guilt-tripping me into that. Why have you abandoned him? You have not spoken to him. But then I remember what the Holy Ghost said to me. And I remembered how I burnt my finger in this other relationship, which was a business relationship. Now, this was going to be a personal relationship, ministry relationship. And I remembered what the Holy Ghost told me. And then I remembered how he warned me about this one, and I did not listen. And I burnt my fingers, and I'm still dealing with the mess. And now, am I going to start another one? And let me tell you something. Let me run ahead of myself tonight. Listen, child of God. If you choose, as a believer, to live in sin, if you choose to do something wrong and you are doing something wrong and you know it is wrong and the Holy Ghost is warning you and you keep doing it, let me tell you something. The Lord will let you be. Because you are a Christian does not mean that you lose your free moral agency. You don't lose your free moral agency. We are free moral agents. What does that mean? You can do whatever you want to do. We are not like angels. Angels have to move at the command of God. The command of angels is the word of God. That's their command button. You press this button, angels move. Psalm 103 verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. At the word of God, angels move. That's what they do. But at the word of God, human beings can say they are not moving.
Jonah, go to Nineveh. That was the instruction. Jonah got up, got his international passport, got a visa, bought a ticket, and he headed to Tarshish. It's a typical example of what humans can do. The children of Israel, God said, now it's time to move. They said, no, we're not moving. We're staying here. God said, okay, now stay. They said, no, we're not staying. We're going to move. Moses called them a stiff-necked people. God says, do this. No, what God says to do is what they don't want to do. What he says don't do is what they like to do. But the end result always is, if you keep doing what you like, when what you like doing is not what God likes, you will end up not liking what you do. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? God is not going to open the heavens, break down. But let me tell you something. The moment a child of God, anyone, any human being, anywhere, makes up their mind that they need help and they ask for the help of God, you know what God will do? He will meet them and he will deliver them. We have a typical example. Can we look at Matthew 14 very quickly? Matthew 14, and Peter was sinking. I mean, he walked on water, you know. He was going to meet with Jesus. I put that on my status today. Matthew 14, and if you look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. You know, I spoke about this a little bit on Sunday as well. The moment Jesus said, come, the faith to walk on water went with that instruction. Anytime God tells you, Jesus tells you anything, the faith to carry out that instruction is already loaded in that instruction. So when it says, be ye clean, the faith, the grace to be clean is already released in that instruction. If you now choose to be immoral, your choice. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter walked on the water, man. We should give this guy some credit. He walked the same water. And we don't know how long he walked, but he walked. He could have walked from here to the main gate. He could have walked from here to Songo. Only God knows the distance. Maybe he walked a mile. Who knows? Or half a mile or a quarter mile. We should give some credit to Brother Peter. He walked on water. But what was the problem? The Bible says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. That's not where I'm going. This is where I'm going. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Even as he was, you can see, as he was backsliding, as he was sinking, he cried. He was sincere. Lord, save me. And guess what? The Lord did not despise him. I love Jesus. He won't condemn you. If I were Jesus that night, I could have walked away from Peter. Help yourself. Idiot. Why did you look away from me? But not Jesus. See what Jesus did? And you see, he didn't say to him, help yourself. The Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? He went to him. Jesus reached out to him and helped him. He delivered him. He reached out. Jesus reached out. If you call on Jesus anywhere you are tonight, in any part of the world, in any situation, he will come to you. Can I have an amen? He will come to you. He will meet you. And I know it. When God meets people, he has met me, and I know. He will meet you. In Acts 10:38, Peter said about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who stayed at home, and people were coming to meet him. You know, there were times he was at home in Capernaum, and people came. But he was on the field most of the time. Who went about? When he was going about, where was he going? He was going to meet people. I mean, mercy, Lord. If anybody, any of us had that kind of anointing without measure, would you be going to people to help them? You sit down somewhere, they come and worship you. Before you see apostle, you kneel down at the gate and you crawl. Don't you know where you're coming? You're coming to the house of power. You're coming to the man of God. The man with the anointing, without measure. Don't you see how they worship ministers in Nigeria and across the globe? And they enjoy the worship. So focus is shifted from Jesus to the minister. Any of us can fall into that error. You have to be conscious. When you pray for your roommate and God answers and they want to glorify you, let them glorify Jesus. I only prayed with you. I didn't answer the prayer. Jesus did, so give him the praise. Can I have an amen? Even when you do good for people and they thank you, that's fine. When they want to take it to another level, tell them, please, sir, please, ma'am. Jesus actually is the one worthy of the thanksgiving. Thank him. He only gave me the little that I gave you, right? He is the source. Me, I'm only a channel. Did you get what I said? So, three major ways that the Holy Spirit, that the Lord leads us in the New Testament. You remember, number one, the inward witness, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirm. Likewise, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He bears witness. That's the number one way that the Holy Spirit leads us in the New Testament, the inward witness. There's something called the inward witness, and I think I've spoken extensively about that. If you were not here when I was teaching it, please get all those messages. They will help you listen and listen and listen. In fact, listen every day. It's going to help you because every day you are making decisions. The inward witness. Number two, I said also there is another thing called the voice of your own human spirit. Your own human spirit has a voice, and that voice is called conscience. That's the second way that the Lord leads us in the New Testament. The voice of your conscience, the voice of your spirit, called conscience. Some people also call it the still small voice. It's a still small voice. It's the voice of your spirit. It is called your conscience. In 1 Timothy 4:2, the Bible does tell us that some people speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Because every time their conscience speaks to them, they violate their conscience. Keep quiet. Don't tell me what to do. Don't take that money. It doesn't belong to you. Leave me alone. Let me live my life. Don't go to club tonight. Don't go to club. You just came back from church. Spend some time. Pray in the Holy Ghost and rest. Leave me alone. It's my life. Every time you do that, you are violating your conscience. After a while, that conscience will keep quiet. And it's very dangerous. Oh, what a dangerous place to be. I pity a Christian whose conscience is not working. Such a person will go to hell in a basket because they will sin and there will be no sensitivity again. No sensitivity to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Papa Hagen gave an illustration of an elderly man that he stayed with one time, an 88-year-old Methodist man. He said one morning, this man was boiling coffee on a stove. And he took the coffee pot and poured the coffee in the mug, and immediately he poured it, still piping hot. He poured it, he drank it, he gulped it. He said he was looking at the man and he was feeling the pain. Has a military man slapped someone close to you before? Someone standing next to you. Bruh! They may faint, but you feel the vibration. Have they slapped someone close to you and you did like this? Reflex action. That Hagen said he could feel the pain. He said, I dare not try that. My whole mouth, my esophagus, everything will burn. This man drank it. Was that the first time he was going to drink it? No. So when we sin and sin and keep sinning and keep explaining it away, something is happening to our conscience. We are gradually silencing our conscience. And that is one of the ways that God speaks to you. So when you say, God is not speaking to me now, you have blocked the channel. Such a man would drink hot coffee and he will not feel anything because he has taken it over and over and over. All the cells in that place have died and they are becoming sensitive. Like some women, their palms, the cells in their palms have died. They can carry hot hot pot from the fire. They don't feel it anymore. They've done it over and over. So in Yoruba language, they will say the palm has boiled. And if such a person slaps you, you are slapped. Our conscience is that tender. It's tender like your esophagus. It's tender like your tongue. I don't know if we all have the same type of tongue. My tongue, if I eat something very hot, ordinary sandwich can burn my tongue. If it comes from the oven or microwave, it can burn my tongue and I will feel that pain for another at least 24 hours. The pain will start reducing, but the spot that got burnt will be numb. My own tongue is like that. My mouth is like that, generally. When I was in secondary school, I used to call one boy in my class, Elenukula. This boy will open food. You know what? We used to take food to school. Very hot. His mouth was the cooler. While we were still fanning, I would take one spoon and be fanning. I would fan it until it went cold before eating. This boy would go, I said, you have a cooler in your mouth? You see, such people, such a person, over time, the cells have died. Let us check our conscience. Does your conscience still prick you? If it's no longer pricking, please go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be lost. Please help me. Because if a Christian chooses to be like that, well, the Lord will say you are a free moral agent. And you see, at the end of that journey, what you see is what you get. The third way that the Lord leads us is through the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is more authoritative than the voice of our own human spirit. We found an example of that in Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter. Acts chapter 10, and I believe it's verse 19. I'm not teaching that over again. He said, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, capital letter S, said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So the Holy Spirit does speak. When it does, it is more authoritative. In fact, it's so audible that you would think somebody spoke to you. And then most times you will look around like, who spoke to me? Who said that? Maybe even mentioned your name, right? But with maturity, you will discover that it didn't speak from outside. He actually spoke from your inside because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit man. Can I have an amen to that? More often than not, when he speaks like that, he doesn't always speak. He doesn't always lead in a spectacular way. The most frequent, most primary way is the inward witness. But when the Holy Spirit now has to speak to the point that you hear him audibly, more often than not, it is because there's going to be some rough sailing ahead. There's going to be some danger ahead. And he knows, if he doesn't speak to you like that, you will probably not hear and you will not obey. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes it just withdraws your peace so much that you say, I want to do this thing. I want to go there. And for some reason, 30 minutes, you are still struggling. That's the Holy Ghost withdrawing your peace. And if you're still very stubborn, and he really wants you saved from that danger ahead, he can speak from your inside, and it will be so audible you think, oh, who just said that? However, having said that, where we need to be careful, don't seek voices. You have no right. There is no provision in the Bible for you to tell the Lord, Lord, speak audibly to me. I don't want inward witness. I don't want a voice of my spirit. Conscience. I want the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. He does speak like that sometimes. He does lead like that sometimes. He is the one that has the prerogative. He is the one that determines what he wants to do, how he wants to lead you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have no right to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. speak to me in an audible voice. You know why that is dangerous? Satan can accommodate you. It happened to a woman in the U.S. This was in Oregon, that Hagin said he went to a minister in a church. And he called the healing line. People were coming out for healing and all that. And this particular woman came. And as he laid hands on her, he said in split seconds, like you're watching a vision on a TV, on a television set, he just saw into her challenge, her situation. And he removed his hands and said to the woman, ma'am, go to you and your husband, go to the pastor's study. He was a guest minister there. So he said, go to the study of the pastor. When I'm done with this healing line, I'll come and meet you. So they did, and then he did. When he went to meet them, and the pastor, he went along with the host pastor. He said, well, husband and wife, I want you to know that this is my first time in this city. I've never been here before, so I really don't know you. I doubt if the pastor knows you. Pastor said, yeah, I know them, that the husband is one of our deacons, and the woman is a prominent member of the church. All right, but your pastor will tell you that he has not spoken a word to me about your situation. And the pastor confirmed, no, I've not spoken to Brother Hagin. And then that Hagin said, look, he saw that a particular evangelist came to town. And when that evangelist was ministering, he said that the Lord, he was telling the congregation that the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice when he called him into the ministry. And the Lord gave him instructions what to do. So the woman was part of the congregation, and she desired that same thing. And she made it a prayer and said, Lord, like you spoke in an audible voice to this evangelist, speak to me as well. And guess what happened? Satan accommodated her. So she began to hear voices. And because she began to hear voices, guess what? When someone is hearing voices, mental health gone. So she broke down mentally. And so from one mental institution to the other, medical science, thank God for medical science, but medical science does not have solution to a spiritual problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Thank God for what doctors can do and how they try to stabilize them and try to make them sleep, give them some pills. Those would help the nerves, but it's like dealing with the leaves. They don't go to the root. It is only the word of God that goes to the root of every situation. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? And so that Hagin said to her, now, so you desired that, and you asked for it, and that was when your problem started. And he said to the husband, he said, your wife is not so mentally far gone that she doesn't understand what I'm saying right now. Excuse me. And she said, yes, I understand what you're saying, and that is correct. They all agreed that that happened. There was a time an evangelist was in town. He said so, so, and so, and she believed for that kind of spectacular manifestation, of spectacular leading. So there was an agreement. That Hagin said, and so when you developed this mental illness, your husband took you to that particular evangelist to pray for you so that there will be healing, right? And the man prayed, and there was no healing. And your husband was angry with the man. Is that correct or not? They said, yes, that's correct. Now, your husband took you again to another healing evangelist in town, and with the aim that you're going to get healed. And then the man ministered, but you received no healing, right? And your husband got angry with that other minister as well. Is that correct? Both of them said yes. Now, he said this, if I had laid hands on you and had ministered to you, you would still not be healed, and your husband would also hate me, would dislike me. Would that be correct? Oh, yeah. He said, that was why I stopped and I did not minister. Please get this, everybody, and don't be distracted. Get this right. That Hagin said, madam, you understand what I'm saying. You are not far gone mentally. She said, yes, I understand you. Do you want to be delivered, or do you still want to be hearing those voices? I want to be hearing the voices. So, the Lord would not be able to do anything for you, for anyone, if they have not got to the point where they give up on the situation
and say, I'm giving it up to God and I'm asking for God's help. I don't mean give up by saying giving up hope. No, I'm saying I'm tired of this situation. When you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you say enough is enough, that's when God can help you. If you want to hold on to your demons, God will let you have your demons. If you want to go to hell, God will allow you. Some of us think that, oh, when people are going to hell, God will regret it. No, God has no regret. He will never regret. I don't know why that's their choice. I don't know why they've chosen to go to hell. When people choose evil, they can be that way. But if they say, Lord, I need you. This heart condition, I don't want it anymore. Lord, I am done. I am D-O-N-E, done. I don't want this situation again in my life. It's like you. Sometimes you need to study the pattern in your family. This person, so and so happened to them at a particular stage in their life. Same thing happened to grandpa. Same thing happened to your dad. You know three of your uncles suffering from the same thing at a particular stage. And you are beginning to attain that stage, or you are beginning to see the symptoms. Do you also want to romance it? Let me tell you something about Satan. Satan does not care if 1,000 generations are destroyed. He will sit down there and administer that evil. If it's a sickness or poverty or some kind of family situation, maybe divorce or whatever, he will administer it from generation to generation. Have you noticed? Once divorce happens in a particular generation in the family, it will be happening from generation to generation unless someone somewhere stands against that evil spirit and says, no, it's not going to happen in my case. On my case, so in fact, from my case to the next generation's 1,000, it's not going to happen again. And it's not by mouth. You have to come to that point and say, Lord, I need you. And you know what God will do? He will meet you. When he meets you, he will deliver you. God is so good. He is so good. Satan doesn't mind from generation to generation for people to be going blind in a particular family. Another family, let them be running mad. Haven't you seen? They'll say, in that family, that's Debai. I'm telling you, it is not God, it is Satan. And I'm telling you, in that same family, if somebody will stand up, they can run that demon out of their entire bloodline. You came to the wrong family. Because there's somebody here who is a fighter. Kedo Baraka. And you stand your ground on the word of God, on the authority of the word. Don't forget that the word of God is the sword of the spirit. Who dares play with the sword? The sword of the spirit. He can cut you from anywhere. So I want to wrap up by telling you tonight, be careful. Don't seek voices. This last one that Pastor Fred taught, voice of the Holy Spirit. I want the Lord to be leading me like that because I will be sure every time. I want to be sure every time. Sometimes it is when you take a step of faith that you actually fall in line and you are sure that the Lord is leading you. We take some decisions sometimes. We are not 100% sure. We pray. We have the inward witness. We step out. God confirms it. Then we are 100% sure. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he said, no, I want to hear the audible voice of the Holy Ghost. The devil will speak, and the Bible warns in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says I don't want to quote it, I wanted to say, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, 5:21, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, prove all things. Another woman who said, she had a revelation. And that Agin said he was in their church, to minister. And this woman hosted them, hosted that Agin and the pastor to lunch. And they had a sumptuous meal in her place. When they were done eating, then the woman started talking.
you know, Brother Hagin, you know, I have this revelation, you know, the Lord gave me this revelation, it's my revelation. And then she began to share the revelation. And after she had spoken for about 10 minutes, Brother Hagin said, no. Ma'am, thank you very much for the hospitality. There is a Bible on that chair. Can you pick it up? So she did. Please open the scripture to so-so and so place. She opened, she read it. Open to so-so place, she opened, she read it. Open to, he quoted five places and she read it. And all of those five places contradicted the woman's revelation. So he said to her, ma'am, let me help you. If you're open to help, now that revelation you're holding on to, that he said is your revelation, is not from the Holy Spirit. She said, no, what do you mean, Brother Hagin? I got this revelation on the altar while I was praying. That Hagin said, I don't care if you got it on top of the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let us not go into error. Ah, Pastor, it was on a Sunday. In fact, it was after you finished preaching like this, the Holy Ghost said to me, my son, it is time. Time to do what? I got it on a Sunday, sir. Not on a Tuesday, on a Sunday. I don't care whether you got it on a any other day holier than Sunday. Maybe Easter Sunday. Right? On Christmas Day. It doesn't matter. Listen, whatever you think you hear, whatever you think comes to you as a revelation, prove it with the word of God. In fact, I love the way John put it. 1 John 4:1. I'm going to teach on that very, very soon. I'm preparing to teach on that. 1 John 4. Look at 1 John 4. Beloved, from verse 1, believe not every spirit, but what? Try the spirit, whether they're of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. As there are false prophets, there are fake spirits. Fake prophecies, fake revelations. Let me conclude by letting you know tonight, whatever the Holy Spirit says to you must be in agreement with the written word. Can I have an amen? Anything, anybody tells you, is it in the word of God? That's the first question you should ask them. Is it in line with the word of God? I told you years ago, I've said it before. We were living in Ashi. I went to fix my tire, my Mitsubishi. It was still a very nice car, like a fine boy's car that time. Very nice. Everything, alloy rim, everything very nice. And I wore my shorts and my sneakers, my t-shirt. So me too, I was looking like a fine boy. And I was hanging out under the shed of the vulcanizer. The vulcanizer was working on the car. A fake prophet came. In joggers, not in white garment. Joggers, nice t-shirt, fake prophet, handsome. And he inquired from the vulcanizer, who owns this car? So the guy pointed to me, so he came to me. Alafia funyi, alafia feni no, sir. He said, afi ronkon romisi yin, that is, they sent him a vision to me. I said, all right, sir, say on. He said, when you want to sleep in the night, do you normally turn off the light? I say, yes, I like to turn off the light. Ah! That's where they are coming to fight. I say, who are they? Ah! Please be turning on your light. I say, okay. I played along. Number two, do you still have a mother? I said, I have a mother, and I love my mother. My mother was still alive that time. I was waiting for him to say, your mother is a witch. He said, just be taking care of your mother. I said, thank you very much. But do you normally have some dreams about your mother? I said, no. So he moved away from that one. He went to the third point. The third point, he said, because you are driving a car. He said, what they showed me, the original vision they showed me, is that you should go to a motor park. In every motor park in Ibadan, and maybe all over Nigeria, he said they normally have a shrine. Tell them when you get there that you want to worship the God of Iron. The God of Iron, I think, is Ogun. Abi, that's Ogun, God of Iron. He said, Esokwe Efe Bogun. Tell them you want to worship the God of Iron. He said, it doesn't cost much. Maybe just buy a chicken, live chicken. You kill it, you put the blood, you know. He said, it's very important because you are driving. He said, what you are driving is ogun. When he was done, I said, thank you very much, sir. He said, I love here for you. He wanted to move and he was looking for offering. Maybe I will give him offering. So I called him back. I said, okay, wait, sir. I also have a vision for you. I said, sir, when you introduced yourself to me, you said you're a prophet. He said, yes, I'm a prophet. You said you have a church. He said, yes. I said, in fact, it looks like I've driven past your church before. When you are linking Ashi, you are linking that Ojo Iworod Express, and you want to link Ashi from the Express. He said, yes. I said, hey. It was you I saw one morning. You were praying. He said, ah, I said, very good. I said, you are supposed to be an oracle of God. But you have told me now to go and bow down before the God of iron, a dead God. His eyes widened like this. I said, sir, don't go yet. I said, you asked me to do a tutu, sacrifice. I said, can you, as a Christian, tell me, or as a human being, tell me any sacrifice that is greater than the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary that can protect anybody. He said, no, there's none. I said, you agree? He said, I said, and you told me to go and worship a dead God. At that time, my voice was already going up. He said, I'm sorry. I said, don't be sorry yet. I said, you need to give your life to Christ. Do you agree with me? He said, yes. A prophet. I said, why are you doing this? A tall man, no, very tall. And you know I'm very tall too, spiritually. I said, why are you doing this? Why, sir? If I didn't know God now, I will leave this place and be looking for a shrine to sacrifice to an idol. And you are supposed to be a representative of Jesus. Why don't you close down the church and open the shrine? Let them know you are a herbalist and that's what you represent. Why are you representing Satan wearing the garment of Christ? I engaged him so much. His daughter came from his house that day. I think it was time they were looking for him to eat breakfast or maybe to bring money for breakfast. So she came and she met us there. I said, you two, you need to give your life to Christ too. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning. You went out of your house. No bra. I can imagine the kind of family already. 9 o'clock is irresponsible. At 9 in the morning for any lady. Listen to me, those of you that are church members. As I talked, I gave it to the guys some time ago. It's for the ladies now. There are certain things that are not decent. You will attract the wrong persons. You are too precious to be attracting the wrong guys into your life. And let me tell you, the way you present yourself is the way you'll be treated. Present yourself as a decent lady. Even stupid guys that don't go to our Overlook Basolori, they know. But if you are very cheap, you make yourself very available, they don't need to close with your clothes. They see everything the way it is. Not much respect. Anyway, that's by the road. That's by the wayside. I preached to that man. No? He now told me that he was born again and he used to follow one bishop. He mentioned the name of the bishop here in Ibadan. I said, why did you leave the bishop? He said, when things were not going well. So, and Baba didn't have time for them. I gave him my number. I said, I want to invite you to my church. Be coming for Bible study. Oga, this one you are doing, he doesn't pay you. You wind up in hell, sir. Pastor Lawo, a pastor telling someone to go and bow before a shrine. Test all spirits. Prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. When a voice comes to you, prove it. Amen? Did you hear what I said tonight? I close with one more story for you. I've given you about 3-4 stories tonight. One more story. This is also from Dad Egan. I'll encourage you, read after him. That man, God really used him amazingly for the church. His own personal testimony. I can't tell all the story because of time. Anyway, so there was a particular day God raised him. He was born with a deformed heart, and he had a bad blood condition. He said one day the doctor took his blood sample, and he asked the doctor if something was wrong with his eyes, or that was the true color of his blood, because his blood was not red. He had one funny color. The doctor said to him, I'll be honest with you, and I will explain to you in layman's terms. If you didn't even have your deformed heart, and you were not paralyzed, he said he was paralyzed from his neck down, his entire body. If you were not paralyzed and you didn't have a deformed heart, this blood condition alone is fatal. It's enough to kill you. So now, he had a deformed heart, he was paralyzed, and he had an incurable blood condition. But on the integrity of God's word, Mark 11, 23 to 24, no wonder that was what he taught all through his life. He went to other areas, but he will come back to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Faith, faith, faith. The day God raised him from the deathbed, he said, nobody was there. He received his healing alone. And he sat up in his bed. Anyway, so he walked to the dining area where his grandpa, because they lived with his maternal grandparents. And grandpa, the grandfather saw him and said, is the dead raised back to life? Is Lazarus raised again? And he said to the grandfather, he said, yes, the Lord has healed me. Because they couldn't believe. For 16 months or so, he was bedfast. Everything they did for him was on the bed. They cleaned him up on the bed. They moved him, cleaned him up. He had no clothes on except his bedspread, bed clothes. Those were the only things he had on to cover himself. You can imagine, a teenager. And so it was really bad. But the day the Lord healed him, he walked to the dining area. He ate breakfast with his family. They ate very fast. And he said at about 10 minutes to 8, he just thought he would sleep a little bit, waiting for his mom, and then about 10 o'clock, he would go out and walk in the neighborhood. As he slept for about 10 minutes. He woke up, and then a voice spoke to him. The voice quoted, I think, James 4:14. Didn't quote it in full, but took a portion out of it. It says, your life is a vapor. Yeah. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This was the voice he heard. The voice said to him, for what is your life? Is it not even a vapor that vanisheth away? And the voice said, today you shall die. Meanwhile, because the doctors had told him before that he would die anyways, he had just a little time to die. He had also prayed. He was reading the Bible. Nobody believed in supernatural healing around him. He didn't know anybody that believed in supernatural healing. He had never even heard it himself. But he was reading the Bible. He was able to manage to open and to read. He said he had enough common sense to stay with the Bible. So he said, well, God, even if I'm going to die, let me know the day I'm going to die, so that he will have enough time to say goodbye to everybody. So when that voice told him, today you shall surely die, he thought, well, maybe that was God. So he sat in his chair, waiting for death to come and waiting to say goodbye to everybody. This was at about 8:30 in the morning. Up until 2:30, he was still sitting there. The death had not killed him. Ah! He said that was when he began to think, what's going on here? Then a voice spoke from the inside. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He said, when he thought about that, the thought of this death vanished. But as he was thinking about it, the thought of death came back again. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. How many of you know that the devil quotes scriptures? Do you know that he quoted scriptures to Jesus? He quoted the written word to the living word. So if Satan could quote scriptures to Jesus, Satan can quote scriptures to you. That's why you need to prove all things. And you are to test all spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't just run off with, I had that revelation. But Pastor, it was a scripture I heard. Ah! There are motivational speakers today that are representing, I'm not saying all of them, there are some of them representing Satan. But they know scriptures. Don't be moved by anybody quoting. They can reel off from Genesis to Revelation from their head. It doesn't mean that they are after Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? If Satan could quote it to Jesus, the living word. So that voice told him again, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, So he thought, well, this must be the real thing. This must be God. But then, for the second time, that voice spoke from his spirit. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? As he thought on that, the negative vanished. But while he was yet thinking, the negative came again. What is your life? It's just but a vapor, and it's going to vanish away. Get ready. And then he remembered that God sent Isaiah to Hezekiah, Isaiah 38 and verse 1. And God said, you are not going to recover from this sickness. Put your house in order. You're going to surely die. He remembered that again. And so the fear came again. And then for the third time, the voice spoke again from his spirit. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? He said, while he was thinking, which one do I believe now? Then for the fourth time, he said, this was now the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. He spoke audibly from his inside. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? He said, I believe that. That came with some force. So he began to check the scriptures. Then he said, he started running references. He saw that. So he said, he now asked, but who is this that is speaking to me? And the voice said, the 91st Psalm. That's Psalm 91. So he reached for his Bible, which was on the floor. He had not even opened his Bible that day. A man reading Bible every day, healed already by God. He was already healed, but Satan wanted him to lose that healing and to die. Look, Satan is not an oriro. He's not a soft meat. He doesn't let his captives go easy. When you are delivered by God, Satan will come after you. He wants to put you in bondage again. It is you that should be strong enough to give him a punch on his face. By the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maintain your deliverance. He won't want to let you go. God lets you go. He will come after you. He wants to pull you back. That's why we are born again. And he's still pulling us back to our old habits. Drink a little. Club a little. Fornicate a little. Just once in a while. It doesn't matter. Watch those films. Those things that you have burnt, you have thrown away, you still go back and visit. That's Satan. We need to maintain our victory. Can I have an amen to that? And you must stay in the word. That's why you must stay in the word every day. Let the word of God balance you. The word is what provides balance. Don't be led by voices. 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are, as it were, many kinds of voices in this world, and none of them is without signification. None of them is without significance. There are many kinds of voices in the world, and they can confuse you. One of my younger sisters once had that encounter when she was hearing voices. I said, where did you get this from? She said, I don't know. I'm just hearing voices. I laid my hand in the name of Jesus. You foul devil. Get out of my house. We're all living together at the time. Cast out that stupid thing. Boom. Healed same day. Never heard them again. Married now with children to the glory of God. Amen. Voices. One of our sisters too. Rhoda. She was here. She was hearing voices. Graduated from Potter's Planet to the Expression House. She said she would not be able to sleep in the night. Because when she put her head on the mattress, inside the mattress, you'll be hearing voices. In my challenge, in my dark days in 2023, I experienced it a couple of times. So I knew what she was saying. I put my head on the mattress like this to sleep. Of course, sleep will not come. And then some kind of funny voices. Where are you coming from? I rebuked them. Put them in their place. Check them out of my house. Stand on my authority in the word of God and in the name of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't pamper the devil. So, that Hagin said he picked up his Bible. He read Psalm 91. And when he got to the last verse, verse 16, that was when he now discovered, that scripture actually said, verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So he now said out loud, I am not going to die. I am going to live until I'm satisfied. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then he said he ran some references, some cross references. And he found 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Then he found 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. They spoke about life. They spoke about long life, things pertaining to life and godliness. And so when he read all of that and he saw in Proverbs also speaking about life, long life, now he said, listen, Mr. Devil, I know who you are now. So it's you that has been masquerading like the Spirit of God all the while, telling me I'm going to die. No, I'm not going to die. And he said, listen, in 5 years' time, I am not going to die. In 10 years' time, I'm not going to die. In fact, in the next 15 years, I'm not going to die. In 20 years' time, I'm not going to die. In the next 25 years, I'm not going to die. He said it until he said, in 55 years' time, I'm not going to die. At that time, it was about maybe 16, 17, thereabout. And he lived through all of those years in sound health, perfect health. If he had not known the word of God, he would have taken the voice of Satan as the voice of God, and he would have wound up dead that day. Because all Satan needs is not a gun to pull a trigger in your head. All he needs is for you to surrender. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just say, well, I've tried. Today, there are many, many Christians who close their business to say they wanted to do ministry or they wanted to do something that God did not send them. Business that would have flourished, lives that would have prospered. Some would just check out of school. They would stop going to school. They said they heard a voice. The voice said, go to Kenya. To go and do what? Some got it right. It was the Lord. But some got it from other people's testimony. And the Lord did not say the same thing to them. Papa Kenneth Copeland went to, Rema Bible Training Center one time and shared his testimony of how the Lord led him to sow his car as a seed. And someone else gave him another car, a better car than what he sold, right? And he shared it with the students at the Rema Bible Training School. And that day, after the class, some of the students started sowing their cars as seed. Till they graduated from school, they never got another car back. This is why some people say, the word of God is not working. Now, scam, Joe! Those pastors, they don't... Did the Lord say that to you? Or did you run off on someone else's instruction? Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's judge everything by the word. Everything. Whatever anybody says to you, judge it by the word of God. Judge it by the word of God. A lady once said that in the church she was attending, a prophetess said, this man is your husband. Meanwhile, the man was already married. His wife was also in the church. And guess what? She moved into the man's house. It's a white garment church. So she moved into the man's house. Now, two women in the same house. She's back to her mother's house now. I said, why did you do that? She's way older than me. My friend's older sister. Maybe almost 10 or 12 years older than me. I said, but ma, why? She said, it was the prophet that said it now. It was a prophecy in the church, inside the service like this. It was a thus saith the Lord. That she wanted to possess her possession. Have you possessed it now? She's well advanced in age now, no husband. What a life. What a life. When a prophecy comes like that, sir, let's go to the Bible. Is there any place in the Bible? Does God support polygamy? One. Does God support that someone will go and destroy another person's marriage and move him by force? These are principles that run contrary to the word of God. So if they run contrary to the word of God, they cannot be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Abby? Have I made some sense to you guys tonight? Have you learned something? This is the way to be balanced so that people don't toss you to and fro. Anybody can walk up to you at any time and give you a prophecy and say, thus saith the Lord. God is telling me that you have some money in your account. You need to empty that account and put it in my account. Like the law said through Elijah to the widow of Zarephath, make my own cake first.
Sir, you are not Elijah, and I am not the widow of Zarephath. Are you getting what I'm saying? People have manipulated people. It's too bad. My mechanic, one of my mechanics, he said, he goes out with me. Sometimes we travel. I tell him to drive me. One day he said, Pastor, why are you like this? I said, why? I just finished a call with someone. I said, why? What do you mean? He said, you are so nice. Many times you help people. I'm with you. You come to our workshop or we travel. People are calling you. They need help. I said, is that not the kind of life we are supposed to live? He said, not every pastor. I said, oh God, calm down. You are driving, no? He told me that one day, one of his big customers, the man has nice cars, who is also supposed to be a pastor. He said the man brought his car to their workshop and he was eating like this when his phone rang. As the phone rang, he stopped eating, he picked the call and he told the person on the phone, he said, send money to me so that I can break my fast. I am fasting. I'm on the mountain now. I am on the mountain praying for you right now. He said, the moment the man said it, he looked at the man looked at him. The man looked at him. And right there and then, that other person sent him 300,000 naira. He said, the house he lives in, they built for him. Those nice cars he's driving, people bought for him. I said, our original buy, we don't see those things early enough. It takes time and it's good because we are building muscle. We are building against all odds. Paul said, I have learned both how to abase and how to abound. To abase is to do without. How to be hungry and how to be full. I know how to enjoy life, my friend. But I also know when there is nothing, to soak my garden with dignity, not slide into your DM to ask for money. That's the life of a Christian. A balanced believer. There will be those times. But see, these charlatans, they can't be hungry. You are eating and you are telling the person you are fasting, you're on the mountain. The guy said that was the last day he walked on the man's car. Say, Oga, go and look for another mechanic. Interestingly, this guy is a Catholic guy. He said, we've seen many of them. They lie. They come to our workshop and lie. They lie. And even lie. They don't lie like them. People have had very terrible experiences. I said, well, and this kind of people will give you a prophecy. When they look you in the face, look them too. I'm telling you how to overcome them because you will encounter them before life is over. Somebody telling you, don't be wearing red on Wednesday. Don't wear red on a Wednesday. Some people are wearing red now on a Thursday. Don't wear red on a Thursday. Peter Cash, too, you are wearing red on a Thursday. They will explain the meaning of Thursday to you. Some of them, they are herbalists. Abameta, Ojoru, Ojobo, Ojobo. Lojoti, Anwaye, Mambo, Kine Kotunji, Aye. I don't want to know Aye, I want to know Jesus. Amen? Stand, everybody. Amen. Praise God. Have you learned something tonight? Be rooted in Christ. Be grounded in the Word of God. Nobody can toss you to and fro. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.